gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome back to His Stories Broadcast, and I have Gil here this morning. And before we get, and we have just this great guest, I'm looking forward to hearing what this, how God has put the story in his life. But before we do all that, if we can go to the Lord in prayer as a community and in God's people. Let's go ahead in prayer. Father in heaven, we just give you praise for what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in the lives of your church. Lord, you are a great God. You're a great Father. And I thank you that you're a redeemer. Lord, I do pray that you would be present here as we talk, and that the words that flow out would be a glory to who you are. We just give you praise for this time, and give you praise for the guest that has been able to be willing to share his testimony today. Just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Kevin. How's it going?
You know, it's a beautiful day here in South Bend, Indiana.
Yes, it is.
So, and that always kind of brightens my day up, I guess. And little things are fun. Last night, I looked at the stars, and I was just like, oh, you know, that sometimes I forget to do that. And,
right.
And just look at God's incredible majesty and glory. And the sunset last night was just outrageous.
It was, yeah.
It
actually
was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. You know, you get so busy at times, you forget what God is doing and on that big scale. But it's wonderful to see what God's doing on individual lives.
Amen. So,
Yeah. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. Doing all right. Yeah, you know, we got this, our church launched last week, Sunday. We moved from Saturday nights to Sunday. And so it's been a different thing. Someone asked me, hey, now that we're not doing Saturday night church, we're doing Sunday, are we going to do the Sunday thing? Is it going to kind of do that whole road? And she was asking like, for real, like, are we going to do that Sunday thing like everyone else does? I got so offended. I was like, no, we're not doing that Sunday thing like everybody else does. What are you talking about? And so I had to really start thinking, like, what is the Sunday thing that everybody else
Sunday
does?
Thing,
like,
yeah.
So, you know, it makes you think about everything you do and being intentional about everything. So even when we do children, like, all right, kids, go to Sunday school. And like, no, we pray over the kids.
Pray
and
we're
like,
I love that.
Yeah.
You said that?
Like, yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah. Yeah. It's and then when they go down, it's very intentional.
Yeah.
So I hope we can maintain that. It doesn't settle back into this thing. You know,
yeah.
We all know what the thing is. So, yeah, but it's been good. It's a good weekend. Good amount of folks came out. It was a great weekend. So, but enough about us. We have a very special guest here with us today. I've known this gentleman for a number of years. We've seen each other, you know, hey, what's going on, man of God? Hey, what's going on? And, man, just to see where his life has been. I think when I met him, he had his own commercial cleaning company at the time. And, man, most people be like, well, that's the pinnacle. Man, I got my own business. I'm doing, like, this man is doing great things, and we're going to hear about it in a minute. His name is Mr. Isaac Hunt. He's with a group violence intervention with Goodwill Industries. And when I tell you, a person's gift makes room for them and brings them before great and mighty people, this is pretty much an example of that. Yes. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Mr. Isaac Hunt. How you doing, Isaac?
How you doing, Pastor Gil? Thank you so much for inviting me and having me here today.
You are very welcome. Isaac came on very short notice. That's all I'm going to
say.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, who you are, and a little bit about your testimony.
I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
My mother and my father were just dating, and my father was a controlled type of person, and my mother decided that she needed to get away, especially when she found out he was trying to sell me to the Nation of Islam. So he literally was trying to sell me to the Nation of Islam, and my mother packed up everything she can carry and moved to South Bend.
Wow.
And I've been here. We moved here probably in 68 69, somewhere around there. And my mother pretty much raised seven kids on her own.
Wow. Here in South Bend?
Here in South Bend, one girl. Then, you know, that's really my hero. I call her my she-ro.
Yeah. That's good.
And, you know, she really She was working in Chicago. She worked in the car wash, washing cars for 50 cent a day with holes in her boots in the wintertime in Chicago trying to feed kids. And she raised me and my brothers to be the men that she always wanted.
Wow.
So we have that chivalry. Chivalry is not dead because she taught us that.
How to treat people, how to treat a lady.
How to open up doors and how to be polite and how to carry yourself and things of that nature, even though we didn't have a lot. When I say we didn't have a lot, we didn't have a lot.
Right.
You know, beings all the time. And, you know, but those are days that I really, really appreciate.
Yeah.
Because it gave me my foundation. Yeah. You know, her going to school and saying to my sister that she was going back to get her GED because she couldn't tell us to go to school and she didn't have hers.
Oh, yeah.
And to see my mother set up a table every time we had dinner.
Set
the table. Yep. You know, and we had goblin glasses, wine glasses. We had water in them. You know, but she
but
taught
dignity.
Yes, she taught us etiquette, and she taught us about, you know, the salad fork and, you know, all these type of things. So she was like, you never know when you're going to need them.
Wow.
You know, and she learned these things from, you know, cleaning people's houses.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of stuff. She worked at Cardinal Nursing Home. She worked at Memorial Hospital. Mm-hmm. She eventually ended up retiring from Memorial. Mm-hmm. But she was a Bible school teacher, you know, and she really instilled in us some values, some foundation, you know, that we should live by. And she used to take us to, remember Benjamin Franklin's? Am I dating myself?
You might be a little bit.
I was very angry at that, but
it should be a store called Benjamin Franklin's.
Okay.
Which back then was like a Osco's almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they used to sell tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. And you get two pair for $5.89.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And this is when All-Stars was first coming
out.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Chuck Taylor?
Yeah, yeah. So my brother and them had All-Stars, and me and my little brother, we had these Benjamin Franklin tennis shoes. And we got talked about. I mean, the kids used to just harass us all the time. And they literally, you would stand in the sun, and the bottom of the shoes would start melting.
Now keep moving, man. Keep moving. Keep moving.
Don't stay in one place too long.
He's so active. He's so active during the summer. And now we know why.
Yeah. And then, you know, we would play basketball, and, you know, you'd be on the basketball court and can't stop the slide right into the ball, you know. And you know, then, you know, at that point, that's when we really start looking at materialistic stuff.
Sure.
We really started looking and started seeing we're poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't even really recognize. We knew we didn't have a lot of things the other kids had.
Right. Yeah.
But we didn't recognize that we were poor and how poor we really were.
Right.
It was because of the way that my mother really kept the foundation of our house together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when she married my little brother's father, you know, he was a car salesman.
Okay.
Right? And he worked for Pfefferman Motors. And Mr. Pfefferman was a Jewish man that took care of us.
Mm.
We literally had 50, 60 chickens in the basement.
Wow.
You know, right on the southeast side of South Bend.
Wow.
You know, and getting our first bikes and stuff like that. And, you know, and he was a man that really started teaching us how to work on cars and cut the grass. Yeah. And,
that's,
you know,
so significant to have that man figure.
That man figure,
yes.
And a lot of people don't realize when that component is missing.
Right.
Yeah. It's a piece of you that's missing your identity.
Yes.
You know? So as I was growing up, even though I had Wade Newsom in my life, I had a piece of me that was still missing because my biological father wasn't there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of held it against me as I got older as a teenager. Now I'm trying to go through that identity stage, you know, and trying to find out who I am. And I'm going to Navarre School. I'm playing basketball, running track, you know, and now I'm looking at girls.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's
what
you know. And so I'm going through the identity stage trying to figure out who I am, where I'm going, and now I'm trying to get away from mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at that point, that's when I started realizing, who am I?
Right.
You know, what was my father like? What did he look like?
Yeah.
Because I had only seen one little picture of him.
Really?
Yeah. That's all I've ever seen. And I never had any contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm starting to be rebellious because I'm hurting in the inside and I don't know how to deal with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the African-American community, we really don't deal with counseling real well. A lot of us not
mental health at all.
Mental health at all, which is a big problem that we really need to address.
Yep.
Yeah. And as a young man, I think I was really going through a depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that I look at it, now that I'm older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I started just really acting out, you know, things that I normally wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Washington High School. I'm playing basketball.
Wow.
I'm running track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to class every day because one thing she always said, you go to school.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're going to school. Uh-huh. So I made sure I went to school.
Right.
But then after school, that's when I started hanging out. I see the guys riding the Cadillacs. They got the old school cars mm-hmm. with the rims on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then, you know, mm-hmm. so now I'm following them.
Right.
Because these have turned into my role models.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I'm looking at these guys, and then I'm finding out they're selling dope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're selling marijuana and cocaine and everything, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, wow, how can I get some of that? That's when my life started changing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, every good business got good advisors.
Right.
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 And in my life at that point, my business didn't have good advisors.
Gotcha.
I was looking at the wrong advisors for my life.
Right.
And the people that I was hanging out with. And I started modeling the things that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they took me up to Notre Dame. And we went to a party. And it was the first time in my life I ever seen cocaine.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
First time in my life on the Notre Dame campus.
Wow.
And all the students was up there snorting cocaine.
Wow.
Wow.
And I mean, it was piles. It was like, I think this had to be about 84, 85.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are they doing with it? And they like, get some. So they, you know, they took some, put it in a bag and stuff.
Yeah.
And we brought it back to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We start selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Next thing you know, it's like, oh man, I can make money on this stuff.
Yeah. Good money.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like throwing a rock in the ocean.
The ripple effect.
The ripple effects that come behind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ain't thinking about those. You
exactly.
just thinking about the rock. I got a rock and I'm going to throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really started getting into this, you know, drinking and smoking marijuana real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would say stuff. You know, she had told me, she said, you're going to get a job by your birthday. This was like 60 days before my birthday.
Mm.
And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, yeah, you're going to have a job by your birthday. You got to go. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm riding around, still drinking, you know, hanging out, doing all the stuff. Well, 59 days showed up, and I came home on the 60th day. And my bags was on the porch.
That's the statement. Yeah.
Mama wasn't playing.
Oh, no, she wasn't playing. She wasn't playing.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the bags was on the porch, and I'm beating on the door, and I'm like, you're not going to let me in? She said, I told you needed a job by your birthday.
Wow.
And I told you more than once. And you're a grown man, and you need to take care of yourself.
Mm.
So Ooh. Since you don't want to get a job on your birthday, see what it's like outside.
Oh,
wow. You're so smart. Go for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know how smart I was. I ran straight to my brother's house.
Hey, man, mom kicked me out the house, man.
I'm on the couch and you can't make me leave.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, then from that point, it really got to the point to where I was in the National Guard, too, and so I was doing the weekends, but I was still – I always had one foot on the good side,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying, because
mm-hmm.
I knew what the foundation was. I knew that I'm supposed to follow the Lord, and I'm, you know, and I've been rolled a couple of times, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I still got this side over here
in
the world,
and
I'm really trying to figure out how am I going to balance these two.
Right.
You can't.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really can't. You know, it's either you can't, you know, it's like being lukewarm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either hot or cold.
Right.
And at that age of my life, I didn't understand being hot or cold.
Right.
You know, I thought being lukewarm, I'm a good Christian because, you know, I go to church on Sunday with my mother and them, or, you know, I'm taking care of my daughter. Finally, I had a daughter and stuff, which my mother was really like, oh my God, you didn't got a young lady pregnant.
Mm.
So, you know, really she was on me then. She's like, oh, you got to take care of your baby.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, so I got to that point where I was like, okay, I'm selling dope. I'm doing everything else. I'm shooting at people.
Oof.
People shooting at me. I'm gambling on the block. You know? I'm just doing everything imaginable.
Right.
When I think about it now, I was like, oh, my God, what was, you know? Was I Claire Cotton's son?
It's not the boy she raised.
Right.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a commercial break.
Okay.
And when we come back from the break, Isaac, we want to hear about, all right, man, you set up a real good scene now.
Yes, you did,
Man, you're doing everything under the sun.
Everything under the sun.
But been taught well.
Yes.
So now when we come back, we're going to jump back in your story. And I want to hear exactly your come to Jesus moment, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And when that happened. And what's been happening since. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking to Isaac. This is His Stories podcast and broadcast with Gil Michelle, Kevin Michelin, and we'll be right back right after this break.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
All right, and we are back with Mr. Isaac Hunt. He's been setting up quite the story. I'm sitting on my. I need some popcorn right now. And then what happened? I'm getting shot at. I got a little girl. My mama threw me out. Yeah,
you got a movie going on.
You got a whole movie, man. Yeah. So, all right. So we said when we come back, we're gonna jump back into your story. We're gonna hear about how exactly you came to the Lord and what He's been doing in your life ever since. So, Isaac, go ahead. You got the floor once more.
Yeah, so I, after all of that being shot at and things, my mother told me I had to get out of South Bend.
Mm.
So I joined the Army.
Okay.
And I figured that was the best thing to do to be able to take care of my baby and try to get my life together.
Mm-hmm.
I was a 50 cal, 60 cal machine gun specialist in the Army. And I was really focused on being in the service and stuff. I came home on leave. Again, hanging out with the wrong people.
Uh-huh.
Go to a restaurant, Barnaby's restaurant, and end up shooting a guy.
Whoa.
Because he got into an argument, and you know, next thing you know, I'm involved in it, and I end up shooting a guy. Well, from that point on, I never seen the streets again.
Mm-hmm.
I was charged with murder and voluntary manslaughter.
Wow.
And my life was just really turned upside down then.
Right.
So from that point on, I was convicted of voluntary manslaughter and sentenced to 30 years in Michigan City Prison.
Wow.
And that'll make you come to Jesus.
Oh, it'll influence you.
That'll make you turn around and say, "Lord, please." If you ever understand, people really don't call on God until they go to jail.
Yeah.
And then the first thing they say is, "Oh Lord, how do I get in there? Help me, Lord." You know.
They turn into prayer warriors.
Yeah. So while I was in there, I was turned around and I was on my knees praying in my cell, and I asked God to help me. I told him, I said, if you get me out of this and you let me come home to see my daughter was 2 years old, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And my dream and my goal was to help keep individuals from going through what I've been through.
Yeah.
Because here is a testimony and here's a lesson that I've learned from sitting down with guys who, is, you know, the terms to really describe it is like you're in a lion's den.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with the worst of the worst,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. you people on electrocution and lethal ejections. I seen and I heard it all.
Yeah.
Young man being raped in the middle of the night, stabbed over cigarettes, all that type of stuff. God still covered me through all of this.
Wow.
And my mother would write me letters, you know, and she would correct my grammar and my letters and she would send me prayers and stuff like that. And I started going to college. My sister started going to college after 40. She was in 47 years old. We competing on grades. She's sending me her report card. I'm sending her mine.
Wow.
That family network that we always had was there for me to be able to sustain and keep my mental stability and you know, and move forward. And one of the things that really happened was I was praying and they reduced my sentence.
Wow.
I got within a year, I got reduced from 30 years where I had to do 15 to down 20 to 10. I went to college and all that stuff while I was there. I got certified in heat and air, electricity, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
I was released December 28th, 1999 at 4:30 p.m.
Wow. Roundabout.
No. 4:30
p.m.
I love it. And the mother and the person who was there was my mother.
Wow.
Standing there. Yeah. She had been carrying my clothes and stuff around for 10 years. And my daughter. And from that moment on, I said, you know, I got to do something different. What I did before did not work. And the New Year's of 2000, I was in church, Redwood Life Church, Family Church, with Bishop Ralph and Margaret Parker. And I've been there ever since. And I had men in my life who really started showing me, you know, how you're supposed to dress. I didn't even know how to use a phone. I didn't even know how to pump gas. Wow. I missed all of the 90s, a whole decade.
Yeah.
And my whole mission was to be able to turn this around. How can I keep young men from going into the penitentiary, from shooting and killing each other?
Right, right.
And I've worked in factories where I was the general manager. Mm. Here I am with a murder and attempted murder. I'm the general manager overseeing 216 employees.
Mm.
We have $1.5 million budget.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, starting my own business.
Yeah.
You know, and hiring individuals to work for me. Mm. I even shut my business down so that I can do the work that I'm doing now with the group violence intervention.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that. What do you do?
The group violence intervention is a strategy that was started by David Kennedy. It's a book called Don't Shoot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's about helping individuals. See, we always want to use the hammer, but we never want to give a carrot.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times all we want to do is arrest our way out of situations.
Right.
We know right now the shootings and the black-on-black crime.
Right.
You know, we look at it, the gun violence, all the way around. We look at it as a problem, but it's a health issue, if you really look at it.
Mm.
We quarantine viruses. Why don't we quarantine gun violence?
Mm.
Why don't we focus on it as a health issue? Why are we not focusing on it as a spiritual understanding,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, to our issue of what the lack of?
Right.
Right? And the mentorship. So one of the things that I do now is I work with young men. I got men from 56. I got a gentleman there 46 years straight in the penitentiary.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
He's on life parole.
Mm.
He works for the city now. He got his college degree.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
I got another young man, two more young men that's 28 years in the penitentiary. One's going to IUSB. The other just became the head of Nylon Crafts Quality Control.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, we convened a group of young men together where I call it the peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to hold each other accountable. Right, and you know, sometimes you just can't put the spiritual element on it. You gotta bring it through the back door.
Yep, that's exactly.
You know?
Right.
And it's about accountability. What is it to be a man?
Yeah.
What is it to hold responsibilities? Mm-hmm. What is it to have pride in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the pride comes from being able to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you walk around with an F on your back, a felony,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And every time you fill out an application, you're mm-hmm. turned down.
Mm-hmm.
How long will you hold that pride, or will you get any pride at all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And these are the things that I'm teaching these young men, that today's no is not tomorrow's no.
Right.
Right? Somebody may tell you no today, but God going to tell you yes.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
He have told you yes mm-hmm. already.
Right. All his promises.
Right. All yeah. his promises. Yeah. All you have to do is live within those parameters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you live within those parameters, he'll make your enemy your footstool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So once I really start getting them to understand these type of things, you can see the development
mm-hmm.
and what the way they look at life. So I run Gary and South Bend, Indiana.
Wow. Wow.
And I deal with what they call the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the most likely to do the shooting, the most likely to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
Either in a gang, group, clique, whatever people want to call it. But mm-hmm. I got guys that comes from all over the sides of towns, about 30 people every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like tomorrow, we got a meeting tomorrow. And it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I provide food, and we just sit down to talk.
Yeah.
And it's a therapeutic session.
Wow.
And we hold each other accountable, and it's about moving forward. What can I do to make my community better?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I have done some things that made it worse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for me as a man to step up and make my community better.
Wow.
You know, it's about time for me to step up and start taking care of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time for me to step up and start being reliable to my family and my mother and my children.
Right.
You know, and my community as a whole.
Right.
So these is the things that we really, really focus on.
You know, I don't know, Kevin. Mm-hmm. we operate in Christian and religious circles.
Right.
This sounds so kingdom to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Isn't this what the church is supposed to be doing?
This is what the church is supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
We're supposed to be going into the areas in which the culture, in many ways, says, we're done with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. God's not done with them.
Right.
God is not finished with them. He's a son, or in your case, the sons that you're talking with. Yeah, there are daughters out there as well who are just filled with that hopelessness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it sounds to me like you're putting and instilling that hope into them, or at least letting them know that there is a hope there.
Yes, mm-hmm. most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just look at it and I say, I tell all the pastors, I had a pastor rock meeting maybe about 2 weeks ago. We invited 30 pastors. And my thing is to them is, God didn't just preach in the church.
No.
No. No.
Right, he went to the prostitutes, he went to the thieves,
absolutely.
He went to everybody.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm trying to get pastors to do is, mm-hmm. these guys are not going to come and walk in your door on
no.
Sunday.
No.
You have to go and get them.
Go mm-hmm. there. Yeah, exactly.
Go.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go get them.
Go.
And if that's your mission and that's your, you say this is your region and this is your area of what you're supposed to be doing, evangelism, I challenge you to step outside of your norm, to bring your congregation to where the people are.
Yep.
And there is a world out there that is desperately crying out. They are crying.
Yes.
They don't know where to go many times. Maybe they've heard some TV evangelist or whatever, but that's it. And and they are there is this desperate cry. But what happens so often in the church is they'll say, oh, don't go there. Don't go there because somehow you get a disease. I don't know.
Spiritual cooties.
Yeah, that's the best way of saying it.
I don't know how else to explain it.
It's like, do you understand who I am?
Right.
I'm a child of the living king. I'm going to walk straight in there, and the enemy is going to go, ooh, a child of the king just came in.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and that's the kind of approach, they're not having fear of walking in there. So,
Amen.
So what you're doing walking into the prisons, God has ordained that.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, I can't applaud enough. You know?
Well, we're running down in time, so let me just throw this in. Isaac did share this. He's going to be going to New York, to do a TED Talk soon. Because here's what's happening: because of what he's doing with the group violence intervention here in Gary, they've been experiencing really national attention. People are like, "What are you doing? Right, and how can we learn from you?"
Yeah.
Isaac, could you tell the listening audience how they can be in contact with you, how they can hear about what it is you're doing?
I can be reached at Goodwill Industries in Michiana on Western Avenue in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a young man that may need some mentoring, may need some job training, may need a resume or a cover letter or something like that, you can call me at 574-440-4107, or they can just come down to the Goodwill on Western Avenue to the admin office.
Okay.
And they can just ask for Isaac Hunt.
Okay. Can you say that telephone one more time, because we tend to lose things?
Yeah.
574-440-4107.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Isaac. Yeah. And they all know who he is down there, so don't worry about it. Just like, I'm here for Isaac. They were like, oh, Isaac. He's a man. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story, Isaac. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and sharing how your testimony. I know it is going to bless and touch many, many people. So if you're out there as well, he gave you his contact information. Also, if you have a testimony to share, if you want to donate, if you want to just make a comment on today's podcast or broadcast, go to our Facebook page or go to our website, historiesbroadcast.com, historiespodcast.com. And if you go to Facebook, just put in His Stories Broadcast. All right. So that's how you can reach us. Kevin, if you would please do us the honors
in
closing in prayer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, just thank you for this testimony in which you've heard, in which you are using a man who you have brought from what seemed to be hopelessness. But now you are showing him how to mentor others and make his community far, far better. And it's through that hope that you have have given in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the redeeming power that you give to us.
Yes.
Lord God, we are, we should be in a desperate cry every moment of every day for that power in which you give to us. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for this testimony. We just give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at historiesbroadcast.com. That's historiesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.